Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Let's see. Is this going to be a big news week or a slow news week? News, of course, news. We all know what news is. News is the unfolding of Christian history. Is that right? Is that an accurate definition of news? News is the unfolding of Christian history. All events gain their significance based on whether they are done in rebellion to Jesus Christ or are in obedience to him. So this week, what's up? It's Monday, November 7th, 2016. Oh, tomorrow's a big, well, that's a private family thing. November 2016, why does that ring a bell? Oh, well, there are the earthquakes in Italy, and the Vatican's continued fall from grace, evident now by their latest comments about God and earthquakes, when a statement was issued, not by the Pope himself, Pope Francis, but by the number two guy in their version of the State Department, the Vatican's State Department, the powerful Secretariat of State, by Archbishop Angelo Becciu, B-E-C-C-I-U, Angelo Becciu. He was rebuking an Italian priest, a superstitious theologian, by the way, the priest, Giovanni Cavaccoli. He is superstitious. And being superstitious, he claimed that Italy's recent and deadly earthquakes were punishment from God for the acceptance of homosexuality. Now, make no mistake, the current favorite perversion of the Vatican and of the Trump campaign is homosexuality. And that is a grave sin. And homosexuals, like all the sexually immoral and everyone in rebellion against God, will not inherit eternal life. Now that teaching, which appears in the New Testament, by the way, that homosexuals will not inherit eternal life, has nothing to do with earthquakes. It just doesn't. These are two unrelated issues. It has to do with those who refuse to humble themselves before God. Of course, it is not homosexuality that sends someone to hell. It's not his support of homosexuals that is sending Donald Trump to hell right now. It is any sin committed by anyone who is not then reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. It is superstitious to think, for example, that the Indian Ocean earthquake, remember that? That earthquake that killed 230,000 people. Now that dwarfs Italy's earthquakes. It killed 230,000 people as compared to what? 250 in Italy this summer. And that's tragic, of course. Even one person, and especially if it's somebody you know and love, one person gets killed, it's devastating because each person has eternal value and worth. But the 250 this summer in Italy and another 100 or so last month, it is superstitious to think that the Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami that followed it, that killed almost a quarter of a million people, 130,000 in Indonesia, 35,000 in Sri Lanka, and a dozen other countries where the tsunami wave hit, it is superstitious to think that there's a specific reason why each of those people groups suffered, of why the people in those countries were killed by the thousands, by the tens of thousands. And by the way, not the people in the capital cities of those countries, where typically the wickedness is it's at its greatest density, but the folks who lived along the coast. And so that's why here at Bob and Yurt Live, we talk about superstition, Christian superstition, and secular. We try to educate people, ourselves too, as we learn and we share with you and from the scriptures a Christian worldview. We try to educate people, unbelievers, and especially Christians, to be able to discern the difference between superstition and truth, between superstition and faith. There are many benefits to understanding this, one of which is, you know, however the election turns out, you will be able to discern between a wise analysis and a superstitious absurdity. And in so doing, then you will not bring shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For as you exercise Bible-based discernment, you increase the average credibility of Christ's followers instead of discrediting and reducing it. And so, yes, in a moment, we'll talk about the election as though we haven't done enough already in the past year ad infinitum ad nausea. But we'll talk more about it. And actually, I think it'd be more insightful if we got our 2016 election analysis from a cartoon rather than from Fox News. So, hey, you guys there in the control room. Yeah, can you guys cue up that? Remember the Simpsons election episode where it's a two-party system. You've got to vote for one of us. You know, even though Homer realized that the two candidates were really aliens, they were replicons from beyond the moon or something like that, and they took over the bodies of the two candidates. That's why when Hillary talks, sometimes she looks possessed. And when Homer exposed them, I think their names were Kang and Kodos, on national TV, they pointed out, it's a two-party system. You've got to vote for one of us. No matter who you vote for, you're doomed. Doomed, I tell you. Doomed. So, yeah, there. Okay, the guys got that. Well, it was just so far. Oh, you want to support a third party? Ha, go ahead. Throw away your vote. Yeah, we'll get to that in just a couple minutes. But first, to continue here, the Vatican rebuking this superstitious priest, Giovanni Cavaccoli. This priest said that Italy's deadly earthquakes were punishment by God for homosexuality. Right? And when the Vatican rebuked him for saying that, they committed an error more egregious than the priest error. This year, 2016, in the latest of about 20 countries had already adopted what they call homosexual marriage, whatever that's supposed to be. And so then Italy followed suit. They basically did the same thing, giving marriage rights to homosexuals. So this one priest understandably freaked out. And the Vatican blasted him. But in doing so, they misrepresented God in a most severe way, in a way that easily sends millions of people to hell. Now, superstition, when expressed by Christians, that sends people to hell because they think these Christians are nuts. They're superstitious. They're so easily shown to be wrong. But then this misrepresentation of God by the Vatican is the kind of thing that sends people to hell by the tens of millions. So the Vatican, which makes it a point never to condemn homosexuals, instead they condemned their own priest. Isn't that something? That's how it goes. Because he condemned homosexuals. Isn't that weird? Go figure. But while calling the priest's statements offensive and scandalous, the Vatican's State Department then said that such sentiments, and I'll quote them in English here, date back to the pre-Christian era and do not correspond to church theology because. Now, it's their because that's egregious. Their first statement is correct. To claim that if lightning hits somebody, if sailors are at sea and they get a disease like scurvy, and it's because God is judging them because sailors, you know, they're immoral, they get drunk, and they're just immoral. So goes the story, and so God gives them a disease, scurvy, until somebody figures out that if you have vitamin C from fruit, vitamin C prevents scurvy. So British sailors were called limeys because they would take crates of limes aboard, and they'd include lime in their diet, and then they wouldn't get scurvy. So isn't that weird? God was judging them with scurvy, but then they could eat a lime and prevent God's judgment. So that shows the superstition in it, right? Where St. Augustine thought that his toothache was punishment from God. He wrote about it. He couldn't understand why God was punishing him like this. And one of his friends said, "Augie, you eat too many sweets and you got to brush your teeth once in a while." So isn't it something that brushing your teeth could prevent the judgment of God for your sin? He's not going to give you toothaches like he'll give your neighbor who sins even less than you, but he doesn't brush his teeth. Evidently, God is mad at people who don't brush their teeth. But at any rate, they said this dates back to the pre-Christian era. Now, if they were talking about the superstition, they'd be right, because that goes back to the pagan Greeks, right? Zeus is mad, so he throws a lightning bolt at you. And then we put lightning poles up around our buildings, and it deflects the lightning. So if the superstitious Christians were right, it messes up God's aim. Now, isn't that stupid? That's how stupid they are. But at any rate, they said this dates back to the pre-Christian era because, and here's their error, because Christ revealed God not as a vengeful God. That is a pagan vision, not a Christian one. That's horrific. Now, to the extent that they would be talking about the timing of an earthquake because of a law that was passed by a government, a sinful law, yeah, that's superstition. That's pagan. Hurricanes are not timed to legislation. That's pagan. It's not as though in the Bible God never intervened and punished leaders and nations in very specific ways. That's true, but that's in the Bible. God doesn't part the Red Sea every time someone innocent is being chased by the wicked. Things that are in the Bible are there because they were biblical. Not everything that happens is God micromanaging the events. How do we know that? Because God tells us that in the Bible. So at any rate, that blatant misrepresentation of God, that he is not a vengeful God, not a God of vengeance, as he says that he is about himself, even in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, that is the kind of false teaching that sends people to hell. The big lie is that God is all love and that his love leaves no room for vengeance or punishment or judgment or terror. So our recent programs on Christian superstition and our just completed Nicer Than God series equips believers to know when they're being lied to, and in this case, when the Vatican is lying, which lately, regarding global warming, socialism, and homosexuality, seems to be whenever their lips are moving. You know, in our series, Nicer Than God, we talked about the believers up in heaven who cried out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Remember that? And they're not the self-righteous type like at the State Department. God saying, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Right? God says that the governing officials should be his ministers to bring vengeance, wrath, and terror against the criminals. And it's Jesus Christ who talked more about hell than anyone in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ, about hell. So the Vatican here, in this way, is doing their bit to misrepresent God and send people to hell, thinking they have nothing to fear from God. God's love trumps everything else. So if you are, whatever your, fill in the blank, whatever your wickedness is, you could do it without fear of judgment, because that's pre-Christian pagan. So, now to get to election analysis, we've got this, is this from, this is from Fox News? Oh no, this is when Homer Simpson had been, he had been abducted also, along with the two presidential candidates. And he realized, it was Bob Dole and Bill Clinton. And he realized that the candidates who came back down to Earth were not the candidates, they were alien replicants of the candidates. And so I think this is, there's more significant electoral analysis in this than anything you will hear on Fox News for the next 48 hours. Go ahead, let's hear it.
March, I was abducted by a flying saucer. That's one of the creatures.
Senator Dole, why should people vote for you instead of President Clinton?
It makes no difference which one of us you vote for. Either way, your planet is doomed. Doomed!
These candidates make me want to vomit in terror. I've got to stop them.
Ladies and gentlemen, 73-year-old candidate Bob Dole.
Yay! Abortions for all.
No!
Very well. No abortions for anyone. Abortions for some, miniature American flags for others.
Yeah!
Fooling these Earth voters is easier than expected.
Yes. But tonight, I say, we must move forward, not backward, upward, not forward.
Yeah!
Those candidates are phonies! You heard me. They're alien replicants from beyond the moon.
Yeah, right, pal.
Why won't anyone believe my crazy story?
The politics of failure have failed. We need to make them work again. Tomorrow, when you are sealed in the voting cubicle, vote for me, Senator Bob Dole.
America, take a good look at your beloved candidates. They're nothing but hideous space reptiles. We are aliens, but what are you going to do about it? It's a two-party system. You have to vote for one of us.
You're right, this is a two-party system.
Well, I believe I'll vote for a third-party candidate.
Go ahead. Throw your vote away.
All hail President Kane!
I don't understand why we have to build a ray gun to aim at a planet I never even heard of.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos.
Go!
So, I don't think that even needs comment. It's no matter who we vote for. No, in fact, it's not the world's future that's at stake. It's your soul and your conscience. So, you don't do evil that good may come of it. And if a law says that pass this law and you can kill the innocent, then you vote against the law. And if a candidate says, vote for me and I promise I will kill the innocent, then you vote against the candidate. And it just doesn't matter. You do right and you risk the consequences. Do right and risk the consequences. If, you know, Trump only wants to kill who knows how many thousands of people per month, if you added up all the people he wants to kill. But let's say it was only one. And let's say you had the offer. And God said, yeah, there's the offer. There it is. It's right in front of you. You could all agree to kill one innocent person, and then your nation will be prosperous. That's the deal you're being offered. What are you going to do? And from the Lord's teaching, you could realize, think of a person that you love dearly, maybe a child or a grandchild or a spouse or whoever, one of your loved ones. You shouldn't need an analogy like this, but some people are especially dense. So think of the one person that you love dearly, say it's your daughter, and the offer is Donald Trump, vote for Donald Trump, and two things will happen. He'll kill your daughter, but he's going to fix the country. Would you vote for him? If that were the gambit. And, you know, of course, people would not vote for Donald Trump if it was he's going to kill my child, but he's going to fix the country. They wouldn't do that, right? But what's interesting, even though he's not saying he'll kill your child, he's saying he'll kill your neighbor's child. But you think it's your neighbor child's life is a second-tier negotiable issue. So you think it's worthwhile to consent to the killing of some because Trump is going to fix the country, right? But you know what? All the Christians who are voting for Trump because he's going to fix the country, they don't believe he's going to fix the country. They don't believe he's going to stop abortion or end the homosexual assault or defeat terrorism or fix the economy. They don't believe that stuff. If you believed all that stuff, right, wouldn't you sacrifice dearly to get all that, to stop abortion, to protect the family, to protect the church, to protect the nation? Wouldn't you sacrifice dearly if you could have all that? I mean, would you sell your home and give all the money if you could stop abortion and protect the church and protect the country? Wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you give all your money? So Christians are voting for Trump mostly because of the lust of the flesh, the competitive lust of competition. Competition is fine, except when it's a sin. Because of the competitive lust to defeat the opposition. And that's what they're doing. All right. So also we found out that the media is part of the DNC. This weekend, WikiLeaks. So we've known that all along, right? Of course. But now, specifically, the Washington Post and CNN both were working with the Democratic Party. Imagine if they were to contact the Trump campaign and ask for dirt to publish against Hillary or ask for tough questions to hit Hillary with in a debate. So WikiLeaks has only confirmed this weekend yet again what has been blatantly obvious to everyone, and this time specifically regarding CNN and the Washington Post, that they are part of the Democratic Party working to defeat Republicans. Duh. It's iRoll Radio. It's so obvious. iRoll Radio is pointing out that, say, ABC News and Hillary Clinton are socialist and pro-abortion. That's iRoll Radio. Good Radio is pointing out that, say, Fox News and Donald Trump are socialist and pro-abortion. You know, both groups will kill you, but the wolves in shepherd's clothing, they're the ones whose stabbing goes the deepest and inflicts wounds that bleed the most. In fact, they're almost fatal. Our 15-year-old son today took a robocall, and then asked, "Hey, guys, what's the number one proof that Donald Trump is pro-abortion?" And I said, "Well, other than that he says he is?" And my son said, "No, I just took a phone call from National Right to Life, and they said that Trump is pro-life, so that's got to be the number one proof that he's pro-abortion, that National Right to Life says he's pro-life." Now, that's true, and that's not Hannity, Limbaugh, Hewitt, iRoll Radio. That's real radio. You know, in New York City, a report came out about the homeless that really applies to the nation generally. And it's that the number of homeless people in New York City has reached an all-time high. And isn't that something how the media has been keeping that a virtual secret? When a Republican was in the White House, every day the headlines exaggerated the homeless problem. Every day for a year of the campaign, 1 year, every day, the homeless. And we pointed out that the liberals, they couldn't care less. They were using the homeless as a prop, as a partisan prop to defeat the Republicans. And so now you've got record homelessness, but you've got a Democrat in the White House. You know, it's not such a big deal. And with global warming, after all, hey, you know, how cold are they going to get anyway? So we're about out of time, but with the election coming up tomorrow, I'm so thankful because over the years now, we've been on the air for 25 years. So we've had six cycles of this where our listeners get angry at us and more when you count. I mean, these are the presidential elections, then there are the midterms. So where we lose friends, we lose listeners, we lose church members over Bob Dole. Over Bob Dole, could you imagine? Or over John McCain? Or over Mitt Romney? These are all child killers. Or George W. Bush? Or Donald Trump? They're all child killers. Mitt Romney, right? Remember 4 years ago how he was pro-life? He's going to fight to stop abortion. What happened? He's not president, so he can't oppose abortion? He hasn't done a single thing because he's been a child killer his entire career. And as is Donald Trump. Hey, God bless you guys.